Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and we are studying now in the book of Ephesians, and today we're on lesson number 8, and this lesson will be Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through chapter 5, verses 14, 1 through 14. Oh, this is about how that Paul teaches believers after you have received the Lord to walk, how to walk in Christ. So let's begin our study in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your written word, for your truths that teaches us and guides us through the Holy Spirit, that we as believers can know that your word is truth. And Father, in following you and believing in your word, we can learn of you and know how we are to live our lives since we have the Holy Spirit living in us that you give to us once we became believers. Thank you for this time that we have together to study. I pray your blessings upon it, and I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, as we always do, we like to look back and see what we have already studied. And we learned that there are two segments in the book of Ephesians. The first segment was chapter 1 through 3, and we learned in those three chapters the blessings that we have in Christ. Paul wrote it down and told the people at Ephesus, and of course we know the word speaks to us today, that they had received and was receiving all their blessings in Christ Jesus. And then the second segment was chapters 4 through 6, and we learned in those chapters how that we were to walk in a manner that was worthy to our calling in Christ Jesus. So, after establishing who the Gentile believers are and what they have in Christ, Paul turns to instructing them how to live differently as part of the church. So the first things that Paul tells about walking in a worthy manner, we studied in our lesson last week, Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. We learned from the word the unity of the body of Christ and the church. And then we also learned of the growth from the effectual working of the gifts that Christ gave. So, we want to go now to Ephesians 4, and we want to read verses 17 through 24. So, I will read these. If you'll write that down and follow me or open your Bibles, and let's read, starting with verse 17. This I say, in other words, Paul is saying, now I say, therefore, and I testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in the righteousness and holiness. So, Paul is saying, and he wrote in the first 16 verses, based on walking no longer as the Gentiles. And so he told them that they formerly lived like everyone around them. He's speaking now to the Gentiles that have become believers. But Paul wrote to them that they had a changed life and they could no longer live like they had before salvation. So these verses 17 through 19 describe how the Gentiles still live. This is talking about the unsaved in contrast with the new believers that we are reading here in verses 20 through 32. What was the description then that we studied in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3? In that chapter, if you want to turn back to chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Paul wrote about their former life. It was futility of mind. Their understanding was darkened. In other words, they didn't have understanding to the word. They were ignorant and alienated from the life of Christ. And those things had to do with the mind. And they were hard-hearted. In other words, they were callous in their hearts. They'd built up a disbelief. And they were practicing impurity and greed. But God, by His grace and mercy, saves people from those things, and He gives them a new life. Now, let's see verses 20 through 24 and see what these verses are talking about. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So, again, these words that have to do with the knowledge or the mind, he says to learn, you have heard and taught. So, what one believes is of most importance. And the old self that he's talking about here is the former one, which is being corrupted by lust of deceit. That old self that you once were, but are no longer. And going back to Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, it tells that it's the sons of disobedience who live according to lust. And then the contrast is a renewal of the mind. Once you have believed that your faith and trust is in Christ Jesus, then you put on a new self created in righteousness and holiness. And we want to look at some scripture so that we can see a comparison that Paul wrote to other churches. First, let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. Colossians 3, 9 through 10. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So he was saying the same thing as he wrote to the Colossians, that they're to put off that old man with the deeds of self and put on a new man that's renewed in knowledge and wisdom. Now, what did he write to Romans? Look at Romans 6, chapter 6 of Romans, verses 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died in sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives, he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. So, in these verses, Paul is saying Christians are raised with Christ to walk in newness of life and not to continue in the old style. The old self was crucified with him, and now, as believers in Christ, you no longer walk in sin. You're no longer slaves of sin. So we as believers should consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ. Now, let's go to Ephesians, starting with verse 25. In chapter 4. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. That's where we are today, in verses 25 through 32. And I'll read these and then we'll discuss it. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but let him labor with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So, he is saying in these verses, therefore, because you lay aside the old and you put on the new. So there is an emphasis here on the truth of the new life. Truth is to be spoken at all times in teaching and relations. So anger is the next subject mentioned, and the text says, don't be angry, but not to sin when angry. So we know that the devil seeks opportunity to tempt believers. So what's the next instructions that he gave? The next instruction was on the subject of stealing, and he's saying, once you were stealing, but don't steal anymore. In the new life, you're to work so you'll have something to share with those that have needs. And then in verse 29, he says, nothing wholesome can come from corruption. From nothing wholesome can, in other words, unwholesome. Here, he's talking about unwholesome works which bring corruption, and it would be worthless, any unwholesome thing. So he said that you as believers, we as believers, these Ephesians that he's writing to, should speak words of edification. In other words, we should build up one another, encourage one another. And words of grace, as God gave grace. He gave grace that was undeserving to us. So what is the contrast then in this chapter? First, he says to put away bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander and malice. You're to put those things away. That is what you should do. These are things of the past. And what should you do? Be kind, be tenderhearted, be forgiving. So, this is what he is saying is a contrast. Forgive just as Christ forgave you. Or forgave you. In other words, forgiving is to let go from an obligation toward oneself, a debt of offense. Now let's quickly look at some more scripture that teaches us about forgiving and about the old unworthiness. Luke 23, verses 33 through 35. Luke 23, verses 33, 35. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself if he is Christ, the chosen of God. So Luke wrote these words that he heard Jesus say on the cross. This was the first thing that Jesus said as he hung there on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. So Jesus asked the Father to forgive these that had placed him on the cross, because he is saying they don't understand what they're doing. And then looking at Matthew, Chapter 6, 12 through 15. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So, the scripture, it's saying that we must forgive one another if we expect God the Father to forgive us. And forgive is written 70 times. It means 70 times 7. You remember that he spoke to Peter when Peter asked Jesus if he should forgive a person 7 times, and Jesus said 70 times 7. In other words, limited forgiveness. Now, let's look at Ephesians 5. We're going to the 5th chapter now. And let's look at verses 1 through 14. That's what we're covering today. Ephesians 5, 1 through 14. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an adulterer has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Verse 7, therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once in darkness, but now you are in light in the Lord. Walk, as the children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, and Christ will give you light. So how does Paul begin in these verses? He says, therefore, because of what you have in Christ, imitate God. He said to be an imitator. And believers are to forgive just as Christ did, as children imitate their fathers. And he says you need to, in verse 2, walk in love just as Christ loved. He gave himself as a sacrifice. And then look at verses 3 through 6. There's still a contrast here. It's between immorality, impurity, and greed. And these are not to even be named among true believers. Those belong to their former life, where they were before they came to know Christ, and how that now they have inherited God's kingdom. So, that goes back to chapter 1, verses 11 through 18, and this describes the sons of disobedience, the ones that God's wrath comes upon, and that goes back to Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3 that we studied recently. Now, let's look at some more scripture and see what we see in these scriptures. Let's see if I can find it here. And I don't believe I see this. Well, let me give you this scripture so that you can write it down. And then you can go back and I'll read it. John 3:19-21. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light. Now this is in verses 7 through 14, Paul is describing how that they're to walk worthy. And this scripture is that I'm reading, it says that for everyone practicing evil, this is John 3:19-21, verse 20, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest the deed should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they have been done in God. So, unbelievers hate the light. They hate being exposed of their sin, their evil deeds. And believers come to the light, so that their deeds will be shown, that are shown to be of God's, that their deeds would be showing that they were of God. Now let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Colossians 1, 12 through 14. God the Father rescued believers from their domain of darkness. Let me read these verses, starting with verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. So, God the Father is the one that rescued us by sending his Son to take our place on the cross. He qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the light that came through the power of the blood of his Son, Jesus, that brought forgiveness when he died on the cross and was raised the third day, and he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Let's look now at John 3, verses 19 through 21. John 3, verses 19 through 21. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they have been done in God. So what is John writing to us here? What Paul was saying, the condemnation is the fact that the light has come to the world, but men loved the darkness rather than the light because they were evil. And everyone that practices evil hates light and doesn't come to the light unless if you come to the light, it exposes, doesn't it? It shows what's in darkness and it exposes their evil deeds. But he that does the truth comes to the light, the one that loves the Lord, that has come to believe upon his name, no longer has to be ashamed of what was in the past, because when Christ died, it covered their sins. And so they can come to the light knowing that their sins will not be exposed because Jesus covered their sins, our sins, with his precious blood. Now let's read Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. Colossians 1, 12 through 14. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. So that's what I just said here, that God rescued us from that domain of darkness, the sin that we were in, through his precious Son, through his love for us, that he went to the cross and died for our sins and for the sins of these Ephesians that Paul is writing this letter. So we will finish with two more scriptures. This is to show us God's word. There are different scriptures that connect it all together, and God used different men to express and to expose his truth, his word. In 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7, 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7, this is the message which we have heard from him, from Jesus, and declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice his truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So John is saying then, in this message that he was given to write down in God's word, is that we have heard the truth from Jesus, and he is saying we declare it, that God is light, and in God there is no darkness. And if we proclaim that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we're lying and we're not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light, which is Christ is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And we know that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed us from all sin. That is all sin. All of our sins in the past, in the present, and in the future. Now the last scripture I want to read is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with the darkness? So what is he saying in this? Believers and unbelievers have no fellowship. They have no fellowship in Christ. Believers are not to partake of what unbelievers do. In other words, we want to live our lives that the light of Jesus will shine in us, that all will see the unbelievers. But we're not to have a communion or a fellowship with them, because we have become righteous and they are still living under the law. They're practicing the law. They're practicing sin. And so he closes that with, what communion has light with darkness? Light and darkness have no communion. We know that when the light comes, that the darkness is not present. And whenever we were living in sin, we could not see the light that Jesus gave to us when he came into this world. He is the light of the world, and we should walk in that light. So we want to close then in this lesson today in prayer. And remember, as we close our study, to pray for one another and to pray for me, that God may use us and help us to overcome the things of the past. God has already forgotten them. Father, we just thank you and praise you that you don't hold our sins against us, that you have forgotten and you have put all of our sins as far as the east is from the west and as deep as the deepest sea, no longer remembered. And help us as new in you, in Christ Jesus, that we may grow in your grace, in your knowledge, in your wisdom, that we may live our lives in such a way that the unbelieving world will see the light of Jesus Christ in us and bring you honor and bring you glory, Father. We give you praise and honor and glory for it all, and I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.